سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. It's a very famous surah in the Quran, Surah Al-Asr. It's a very short and a very powerful surah. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was that whenever the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba used to part from one another, they would ask Sahaba Ikram, they would ask the Prophet ﷺ that, can you give us some nasiha, some wasiyat, some advice? And the Prophet ﷺ would respond. And a hadith once said that the Prophet ﷺ recited Surah Asr and would say that Surah Asr is enough nasihat and wasiyat for us. And they would part on this surah. Mawla Asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the Asr, by the time, by the waning of time. And Allah Ta'ala is invoking Asr. And then, Innal insana lafi khusr. But indeed, insan, human beings, they are in an irreversible, irreparable loss. Humanity, all of humanity, every member of humanity, humanity itself is in khusr. Khusr means a vacuum. It's a loss from all the sides. It's a loss where you can't press the undo button. And why is insan in a khusr? Because as the time passes by, then that time that is wasted, that time that is gone, will not come back. We start our day with Fajr, then Zohar, then Asr. By the time Asr, then after that we have Maghrib, the setting of the sun. The ulama, they explain that human life is also like the cycle of salah. That we start our day, we enter our youth, it's Zohar, and then the time is passing by, time is waning, and the dunya that we are spending right now is Asr, and the setting of the sun is the Akhirah, it's very near. So every second we are coming closer to the death, coming closer to our death. Every moment we are coming closer to our Akhirah. And hence every moment that we are spending is either we use that opportunity to please Allah Ta'ala, or we blow that opportunity away. There's an opportunity cost to every moment that we are spending. If we don't use that time for akhirah, if we don't use that time for deen, then khusr, it becomes a state of loss. Illa, but then Allah Ta'ala mentions an exception to the rule. That who is that person for whom the passing of this world is not a loss, for whom the passing of time is not a loss? For whom this every footstep, every breath that they are taking towards their grave, that is not a loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an exception. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who have iman. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And those who do righteous actions. Amal and iman, they are joined together in the Quran. So many places. Only iman is not going to be sufficient to save ourselves from this loss. Without amal, a person will be in this khusr, this utter loss. But if a person practices their deen, they excel in their amal, they race to do amal, amal as-salih, then only they can save themselves from khusran. That is why in Quran also Allah Ta'ala mentions that man amila salihan min zakarin aw unsa wa huwa mu'minun falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyiba. That person who does righteous deeds, again amal as-salih, whether man or a woman, wa huwa mu'minun, and they are a person of iman. So iman plus amal as-salih. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. That surely and certainly we will grant them a beautiful, pure life, حَيَاةِ طَيِّبًا, in this dunya. So, the principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting in the Quran, the way a person can get this حَيَاةِ طَيِّبًا is by having amal, amal as-salih. Any amal goes together with iman. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. That's why it's necessary that whatever ilm that we acquire in our deen, we're learning the Quran, learning hadith, learning ilm deen, we should try to mold that ilm into amal. We should try to act on that ilm. We should try to transform that ilm into amal. And if we can transform this ilm as students of knowledge, we are acquiring knowledge. But if only we can transform this knowledge into amal, then Allah Ta'ala promises for us in the Quran, Hayat-e Tayyiba. Person can make this dunya Hayat-e Tayyiba, a pure life. This dunya can become a small sample of Jannah if a person has iman and amal as-salih. These amal are what will help us in this dunya, and these amal are also what are going to help us in akhirat. In the last hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the day of Qiyamah that the amal of a person will be weighed on that day. So in Akhirah, the currency that we'll have, the currency that will be accepted by Allah, the currency that will be maqbool, will be amal as-salih. If you want to get the blessings of Akhirah, then we'll need to bring this currency, amal as-salih. And more amal as-salih we have in our bank account, more blessings of Jannah that person will be able to enjoy, more qurb he will be able to attain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more darajat, more rutbat will be given to such a person. And the akhirat is dependent upon amal. In this dunya, just like in this dunya, just like in this dunya, we say that wealth is dependent, everything is dependent on wealth. People say that, that if you have wealth, then you can buy a house, you can buy a car, you can buy other things. In Akhirah, the currency that we will need is Amal al-Saleh. And whoever has these Amal al-Saleh, they'll be able to buy the blessings of Jannat, the ni'mat of Jannat. We see this in dunya also, that you have to move from one place to another. You ensure that the place that I'm going to move to, what's the currency that's in use? What's the currency of that place? We make sure that we have that currency with us. Same in the dunya, we are so careful. This is a lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching. Then the akhirat, the currency of akhirat is amal al-salih. And hence a person should be haris about their amal. They should be greedy, they should have a desire in their heart to do more and more amal. Amal al-salih. And if you look at the examples of al-akabirin, of Salaf Salihin, we'll see that all of them, they were haris of amal, amal al-salih. They would compete with each other, they would try to excel. They will not waste any opportunity in doing a good deed. Hazrat Bibi Maryam alayhi salatu wassalam, her story is mentioned in the Quran. She used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in her hujra, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her fruits out of season. And because of her amal al-salih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her with hayat-i tayyibah. Allah Ta'ala would give her fruits that were not there in season. So if Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala can give her fruits out of season because of her ibadah and amal al-salih, then why can't Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give you fruits of season? Not fruits of season Allah Ta'ala can give you. Allah Ta'ala can give you provided we bring that ibadah to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Provided we are also haris of doing this ibadah of Allah, of not wasting this opportunity. Subhanallah, in the books it's mentioned the story that there was a person, it's a recent story of a person who was 70 years old, who would perform tawaf, 70 tawaf every day. Imagine a 70-year-old person performing 70 tawafs every day. That's 490 circles of Baitullah Sharif. If someone asks us that you should perform tawaf today, let's see how many tawafs can you do in one day. No, we might get tired and we might try. I remember many years ago, we tried and it becomes very difficult to perform even 100 tawafs in 3 days. And this 70-year-old person was performing 70 tawaf every single day. And for every tawaf then, you have to perform Two rakat nafil wajib uttawaf. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And he 140 nafil wajib uttawaf. This was ibadah that was separate from his other faraiz and wajibat, other ma'mul. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, once he was traveling from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Tayyibah. And back in those days, this used to be a camel journey and it used to take 16 days. So Imam Shafi traveled from Makkah Mukarramah to Madina Tayyibah in 16 days. And in those 16 days, he's completed 16 Quran. Allahu Akbar. You can't complete one Quran in 16 days. He completed 16 Quran in 16 days and came to Madina Tayyibah and presented the sawab of that to the Prophet ﷺ. our Akabarin, they were so careful about their time. They would calculate and see that how can we save time. Even from their eating, they would calculate and see that is it possible that we can save time from our eating and then use that time in order to do ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Jurjani rahmatullah alayh, he would eat sattu. This is a gravy type thing, but without water. Dry sattu. And he would eat this for so many, he was eating this for so many years. And someone saw him and asked him, that why are you eating this in a dry fashion? Why don't you add some shorba, some liquid, some water? So Hazrat Jurjani rahmatullah alayhi replied and said, that once I tried eating with water, with gravy, and I realized that it takes more time. So I decided that I will eat this without the gravy, without the water, and I will save that time. And then in that time which I have saved, I'll use that time to recite 70 Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. So he would save their time from eating, reduce their eating, get that extra time, and then use that time to recite 70 Subhanallah. It feels as if there was a fire in their heart. And the reason why they were able to do amal is because there was a fire. There was a desire in their heart. Always looking for an opportunity to do amal us-salih. They would not sit idle. They would be restless to do amal us-salih. They'd always be mutaharrik, always be moving, always be thinking, always be planning that how can we do amal us-salih. They were able to do this because they had this muhabbat of Allah in their heart. They had this fikr of akhirat in their heart. Even the kings of that time were so careful about their ibadah. Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi was a king, was a ruler of Indian subcontinent at some time. And it was his habit that every night before he used to go to sleep, he would recite 5,000 times the Durood Sharif on the Prophet ﷺ. And he, throughout the day, he would be looking at the administrative affairs of that area, of the territory. And then he, at night, had a ma'mool of reciting this tasbih of the Durood Sharif 5,000 times. Allahu Akbar. This was the state, this was the condition of the rulers of that time. And today we tell the Salikin that they should recite the Durood Sharif 100 times daily. And that we are not able to do. So we say that those people were rulers, they were kings. But look at the type of amal, the actions, the amal us-salih that they did. And outwardly we appear to be religious. And we think that we are religious. But at night we're not able to rise up and pray 2 rakat tahajjud. We're not able to descend the rood and salawat on the Prophet ﷺ. So this is something that we have to learn, and this is something that we have to make an effort for, to be vigilant about our time, the passing of time, and to view time as an opportunity in which we can convert that amal, convert that time into a good deed. Recently we had the good fortune of spending some days in the company of our own Sheikh here in Karachi. Our Sheikh Azaji was here visiting for about a week. Alhamdulillah, we got the opportunity to observe very closely, and there are many things that we learned. And one of the lessons that we learned was that how our mashayikh, how they use their time, how careful they are in using their time. It was so ajeeb that so many people used to come to meet the Sheikh, and the Sheikh would give a bayan, the Sheikh would meet different people, and every opportunity, every event, every meeting would be used, would be conducted in such a way that it would become an amal us-salih. I distinctly remember that this used to happen in different ways. Sometimes the people would request that, Sheikh, we want that you could give us a bayan. And then there was a whole schedule of the bayan, that this night there'll be a bayan in this masjid, this day there'll be a bayan in the afternoon, then there'll be a bayan on third day at some other place. So subhanallah, one aspect of the day was spent preparing for bayanat and giving bayanat. So that would be a bayan in the masjid. And in the masjid, then there were so many people who would be listening to that bayan. And I would be thinking that, subhanallah, all these people will be benefiting from the words of Nasiha. They would be benefiting from the advice, from the bayan, the ta'limat of Sharia that the Sheikh is teaching. And if any person gets the tawfiq to do amal on any of those teachings, the sawab, the reward of all of that will be going to the Sheikh. And there were thousands of people in every majma, in every gathering. So imagine that the total cumulative sum of all the ibadat of those people that they were due because of that bayan, the total sum of that sawab and reward would go in the account of that Sheikh. So just in a few hours, how much good deeds he would be able to accumulate. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is called maximizing the time that you have. Maximizing the time in order to do those actions, those amal, which can bring the maximal pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, providing so much benefit to so many people in such a short amount of time. And the bayan used to be very jame, very practical oriented. It was not some abstract philosophical bayan. It was very to the point, very simple, heartfelt, coming from the heart, and spoke about simple things, practical things, which every person could relate to. There were ulama in the gathering, there were common people, there were educated people, there were engineers and doctors, they were illiterate, there were those who were PhDs with PhDs. And he was an audience full of different backgrounds, people from different areas, different expertise, different backgrounds. So the Sheikh spoke about things which everyone could relate to, which everyone found beneficial. And subhanallah, in one bayan, imagine the kind of tarakki, the progress, the sawab, the reward that the person would be able to get. And this was one day. And the second day, again, there was a tartib of a bayan. Then again, third day. So 6 days we spent in the company of our Sheikh, and every day there was a bayan. And sometimes not one bayan, but multiple bayanat. Then another thing that we noticed this time was that the Sheikh especially came to our city to do taziyat, to do taziyah. Taziyat means that when a person passes away, so you come and you console their family members, and you make dua for the deceased, and you give or say a few words of tasalli and words of comfort to the family of the deceased. This is a huge ibadah in our deen. We don't realize the importance. We underestimate the importance. But in the Sharia, this is a huge ibadah. This is akhlaq. This is hukukul ibad. This is sila rahmi. And there's a lot of fazilat of doing this taziyah, inquiring about the health of other people, and also then expressing your condolence and saying some words of comfort to ease their loss, to ease their sorrow, to ease their grief. And we saw that this time on this trip, there were three such occasions where the Sheikh especially went just for taziyat. He especially went just for taziyat. And I was thinking again, and subhanAllah, this is such a big virtue, such a big ibadah. And even if it's for a short amount of time, sometimes 10 minutes, sometimes half an hour, sometimes a whole hour, sometimes they would ask the Sheikh to give a bayan. So it will become then more and more ibadah. Those good deeds would multiply. Taziyat, the sawab of taziyat, and then the sawab of giving a bayan, and then benefiting all the students and all the people who are present listening to that bayan. SubhanAllah, in this way the good deeds can be multiplied. Then another feature was that these were the public bayanat, which were open for everyone, the general masses. When the Sheikh would come back to his place where he was staying, so there again, people would want to come and meet the Sheikh, want to have mulaqat, a meeting with the Sheikh, to discuss their issue, to discuss their concern, to request du'as. And there at the place where the Sheikh was staying, again there was a whole silsila. There was a whole sequence of people coming and meeting, and the Sheikh would give them time. He would listen to their query, he would answer them, he would listen to their issue, he would make dua for them. Some of them would ask the Sheikh to come in fact to their factory, to come to their house for dua. And Ajib, no, Azaji, our Sheikh is beyond 60, and still, despite health, despite the weakness, despite the old age, Azaji would never refuse. He would never refuse an invitation. And then we saw this even on this trip, that this was a last minute plan. Someone came and requested the Sheikh that, oh Sheikh, if you could come to our factory and if you could just make dua, the workers will be very happy. Be very happy if you could come and you could just spend a few minutes there and just make dua for all of us there. Make dua for barakah in our rizq and make dua for barakah in our deen. And the Sheikh accepted that invitation. And next day, Allahu Akbar, we went along with the Sheikh. We went inside that factory and the Sheikh gave them his time. He spent time meeting them, greeting them, all the people there, the factory workers. And then he spoke to them. People would come and discuss their issues. He would answer them. And then he made dua for them. And when the Sheikh was exiting that factory, I was there. Other people were also there. And I could see the smile on the face of almost every single factory worker. They were beaming with joy as if it was an Eid day for them. And I was thinking in my heart that SubhanAllah, this is in such a small amount of time. This was such an incredible act of ibadah, that putting a smile on the face of all these people, saying comforting words to all those people, making all those people so happy, giving rahat and joy and happiness to the hearts of all these people here who have gathered here in the factory. We don't realize, this is a very big ibadah in our deen. To provide happiness to the heart of someone else, this is one of the biggest ibadah in our deen. And SubhanAllah, everyone was happy, everyone was joyous, everyone was celebrating. And then the Sheikh came back and he went to another factory, and there also he made dua. Sometimes he would stay in the car and he would make dua. And the people in the factory, they would come down on the ground floor, they would gather, they would circle, gather around that car, they would raise their hands and they would say Ameen to that dua. And every place where we went, we saw that the people were so happy that the Sheikh came and took time out to come to their place and to make dua for them. And throughout we were thinking that SubhanAllah, now this is really how you maximize good deeds. This is really how you win the hearts of other people. This is really how you accumulate more and more good deeds. Yani in one single day, in a span of a few hours, so many good deeds would have been written down in the account of that Sheikh. So many good deeds. Because this is an ibadah, right? Winning, providing happiness to the hearts of other people. Just like providing eza or a hurt or harming the hearts of other people is a very big sin, in the same way providing happiness to the hearts of other people and providing joy to them is a tremendous ibadah. Then many times we also noticed that a stranger would come and he would meet the Sheikh, and the Sheikh would meet him with a smile. Now smile is also sadaqah. In a hadith the Prophet ﷺ said that from one of the acts of goodness and a khair is that a person should meet the brother with a smiling face. Now just imagine, this is such a small amal that you don't know who that person is, and this normally happens. And we have had some experience ourselves when we go to another place, another city, another country, and you have all types of people who come and meet you. And just to be able to meet them with a smiling face, with a smile on your face, at least one ibadah, one good deed is written down in your name amal, that you're meeting them with a smile, you're cheerful. And then you do shake their hands, you do musafaha. Sometimes you might want to listen to what they have to say. You make dua for them. And in one act of just meeting one person, a person can accumulate so many good deeds. And we saw all of this live. We saw all of this live, how this was practically demonstrated before our eyes. How this is done, how people are able to do it, and how these small things, small meetings, small interactions, these small conversations end up becoming amal us-salih. How do they end up becoming amal us-salih? Simply by following the teachings of the sunnah, by greeting them with a smile, by making dua for them, by trying to please their heart, winning their heart, providing happiness to their heart. And also just by having a good intention. Innamal amalu bin niyat. Right? Just having a good intention. A good intention could be anything. You add a good intention to any amal, that ibadah, that amal becomes ibadah, that adat becomes ibadah. Then when the time used to come for the sheikh to eat food, every single time the sheikh would eat food with someone with him. He wouldn't eat alone. He would ask that, you know, you also join us, you also join us, you also join us. And he would eat together with other people around him. And then he would ensure that, why aren't you eating? You should eat. Eat more. Now sometimes when you're eating with the sheikh or with some senior alim or alim, some ulama, you feel a bit hesitant, you feel a bit shy and embarrassed that what would other people think, you maybe eat a bit less. So the sheikh, he would encourage all of us that eat, eat, eat. And this is also sunnat akhlaq. This is also sunnat adab. That you eat in a gathering, because the more hands are there in that gathering, the more barakah will be in that food. A person should try to avoid eating alone. At least eat with someone else, one more person, so that there is more barakah. So, you know, there is barakah, that amal of eating becomes ba-barakat. And then, while eating, the sheikh would mention some story, or he would have a light-hearted conversation. This is also ayn-e-sunnah. Again, this is learning. When you know the sunnah, then you start implementing the sunnah. This act of eating also becomes rewarding. Having a small conversation, small talk. Because it's makruh that a person eats their food and they're silent. If there are other people around you, you should try to engage, have a small talk, maybe something about the food, that the food is nice, or something else. But to have a small talk is sunnah. And if a person can make niyat of doing amal on the sunnah, then they will get reward for that. Will get sawab for doing ittaba'i sunnah. For ittaba'i sunnah, they will become the mahabub of Allah, the beloved of Allah. A small act of eating, in fact, a small act of having a talk while eating, this can also make a person beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that amal of eating also is now amal us-salih. It's now a good deed. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So then another very interesting incident happened on this safar, on this journey, that there was a bayan that the sheikh had to go to. It was a big bayan at a very big masjid. The thousands of people had already gathered, waiting. And if I remember correctly, the bayan was after Isha. And we left the place where the sheikh was staying. But right at that time, one of the person, he requested the sheikh, if you're going for the bayan, right on the way, there is my car factory. No, not my car factory, car showroom. And if you could just come, it's on the way. If you could just come, just step inside the office and just make dua for us in that showroom. My sons would also be there, and I would call them also. They're not so religious, but I'll call them, I'll inform them, and we'll just want the barakah that you could come and make dua for us. Now, this is something which is very interesting because, we would have imagined that there's a big bayan and thousands of people are waiting for that bayan. And if I make this detour in the middle, then perhaps the bayan can become late and then people would be waiting and then what will happen? So one would tend to maybe ignore such requests. But the Sheikh was very generous. He was very generous. He said that, "Nay, inshallah, we will come and make a dua for a few moments." So we were following in our own car, and we reached that showroom, and then the Sheikh, he came out, he went inside that showroom, the office, and now the Sheikh made dua. Now the host who had invited the Sheikh, he said that, "Oh Sheikh, if you allow, if I could just give me a few minutes, if I could just serve you something. It's khilaf etiquette and khilaf adab that you come here and we leave you without offering you anything. So just give me some time and I'll offer you something. I'll just get chai made for you." And the Sheikh, he had a smile on his face and he said that, "No, we'll wait. We'll drink our chai and then we will leave." So subhanAllah, now chai doesn't happen automatically. There's no magic genie that automatically chai is served, right? It takes some time. Now we are in our hearts are thinking that the bayan, the masjid and people have gathered there, and here the Sheikh is sitting and the Sheikh is indulging in that conversation. He's making dua. This is called empathy. This is called ehsaas. This is called being considerate to the feelings of other people. That if that person is inviting the Shaykh with so much muhabbat, with so much love, with so much talab and tadab in his heart, then it befits that one should respect the muhabbat that they have. One should respect the desire that they have. One should not try to break their feelings, should not try to break their heart. This is such an ala level of akhlaq. This is what you call ihsan in akhlaq. That you are careful about the feelings of other people. You're careful that you don't want to trespass on the hearts of other people. You don't want to do anything, even slightly, to hurt the heart of someone else. And you're willing to sacrifice your own comfort. You're willing to sacrifice your own plan so that the other person should not feel disheartened. The other person's heart should not break. So the Sheikh, he waited for the chai to be made and to be served. And then there was no hurry. This was ajeeb. This was the most amazing and most interesting thing about this whole event was that we were there and we were feeling that maybe now we have to rush, we'll have to go back. But when we looked at the Sheikh, we saw that there was no hurry. Al-ujlatu min ash-shaytan. This haste comes from shaitan. There was complete contentment, sukoon. There was calmness in that whole atmosphere. Calmness. And we, all of us, we drank tea. And then the Sheikh asked him, again, a small talk, just to indulge and ask, that how many cars are here in the showroom. Imagine just a few minutes later, the Sheikh has to give a bayan on the love of Allah Ta'ala to thousands of people. And here, just to not to break the heart of this person, the Sheikh is talking about the showroom, that how many cars are here. And then I remember one of the sons of that owner, he came, and the son was a bit distant, zahir and outwardly, he was appeared a bit distant from Deen. And there was a in the head office that where we were sitting, all of us were sitting, there was a brand new Harley Davidson. And the Sheikh saw and he smiled and said to that son, "That is that your Harley Davidson?" And the Sheikh knew about that motorbike. He said that yes, and then the Sheikh then asked him to tell me the details about this. And subhanallah, that's the ideal question for that motor, for that biker. He went on and on that this is 2000 cc and this is this color and this and that, and telling all the technical details. And I've driven this in this city and that city, and I use it for the desert and safari, etc., etc., on and on and on. Allahu Akbar. And his heart also opened up. And initially, he was a bit hesitant, he was a bit shy, he was a bit sort of retreating back, didn't know what was happening, who are these people, right? But then, when the Sheikh spoke to him so lovingly at his level, the Prophet ﷺ taught us in a hadith that kallimun nasa ala ukulihim, that speak to people at their level, speak to people about things that they can understand. If you speak to them about things that are beyond them, which are not beneficial to them, then there is no benefit, right? It'll just come from their one ear, go away. They won't be moved. Nothing will happen. No change will happen. This is sunnat, that when you meet someone, speak to them at their level. When you meet an alim-e-deen, and again, we saw this throughout the 6 days, right? In that specific instance, we saw how the Shaykh came down at the level of a mountain, that biker, and spoke to him about biking, about Harley-Davidson, about the technical details about how many cc this motorbike is. At that level, and that opened up his heart. That opened up, and he genuinely felt interested. He developed a bond with that sheikh, and he then went ahead and said that, he in fact then started asking questions himself. And then later, Ajib, the sheikh, he made dua, and then the owner requested that if you could also recite the kalamat of Toba, so that all of us, we can repent of our sins, we can seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this person, his son also, he stepped ahead and he said that, "I also want to make Toba." And Sheikh, recite for these kalamat, "I also want to make Toba. Tell me what kalamat of Toba should I recite?" And right there in that office, head office, in that car showroom with a Harley Davidson right next to him, that person was making Tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. This is good akhlaq. This is the barakah of good akhlaq. This is the barakah of sunnah akhlaq. This is the barakah of that sacrifice that Shaykh made. While we were thinking that we have to go to that bayan, but this was a life-changing moment for that young man. His life changed. And it was not just that person, there were many other employees and many other people who were working. All of them came inside that room. When the time came to make Tawbah, all of them said, "We want to make Tawbah, we want to repent. Tell us, what should we do? What should we recite?" It was completely jam-packed, completely full. There was no place to sit. And all the people there, then they made Tawbah. It was an ajeeb sight. Just imagine, think of a car showroom, right? A car showroom in the middle of a very, very busy street. And it's nighttime, it's between Maghrib and Isha, which is peak traffic, and you have the horns blaring outside. And inside that room, inside that office, there are some people, employees, and the owner and their sons were making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is sunnah, this is the barak of sunnah akhlaq. And this amal also became it became an amal us-salih. This stopping at that car showroom and making dua and drinking chai and speaking about Harley Davidson to that young man, that became amalo saleh. It became amalo saleh because this was the barakah of sunnah. This is kallimun nasa ala ukulihim, that speak to people at their level. If you make this niyat that I will speak to people at their level, this amal also becomes sunnah, and then you will see the barakah of sunnah in your life. Sunnah is barakat. Sunnah is blessed. Sunnah is full of barakat. If we start learning the sunnah and employing and implementing the sunnah, we will see these barakat with our own open eyes. Subhanallah, that room was a living testament that moment of the barakah of sunnah. How everything changed, the atmosphere changed. And now from Harley Davidson and 2000 cc, they were all making Tawbah with tears in their eyes. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And then later on, I was reflecting on the story, and I was thinking that, on one side, there was this Masjid Bayan, and many people were waiting. And then on the other hand, this was this unexpected detour where we're stopping at this car showroom. And I realized that, for the Ahlullah, for the people of Allah, it's really not about the number. It's basically the ikhlas that they have. Because in both cases, they're doing it for the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They went to the masjid, they will go to the masjid, give a bayan to thousands of people, not because of the thousands of people, but because they want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The intention is the pleasure of Allah. And they came to that car showroom, their stop is also for who? It's their stop is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're doing it to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the same intention. Whether the masjid or the car showroom, the intention is to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will become pleased, that if we provide happiness, if we accept this invitation, and if we make dua for them, if we provide happiness, joy to their hearts. So when your gaze is that you're doing it for Allah, and this is ikhlas, this is true sincerity, that when a person's gaze is fixed on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then things become equal. Then you're doing both of those actions were for the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They stopped at that place for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They departed that place for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They came to that masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every step, every qadam, every movement, every amal, every action then is filla and lilla. It becomes for Allah. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Like the dua mentioned in the Quran, that my ibadah is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my sacrifices are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and my life is for Allah and my death is for Allah. A person reaches that maqam where they become living embodiments of this ayat of the Quran, where truly everything, every harakat, every action that they're doing is they're thinking about how to maximize the pleasure of Allah, how to make this amal, how to make this fail into an amal. Two words, right? Fail. Fail is an action. How to make this action into a pious good deed. That's how the mashayikh, that's how these people, they think, the ulama, the sulaha, the mashayikh, they're thinking. And we saw this so many times on this trip. This is just one small example. But ever since this happened, we're constantly thinking about this over and over again. And this is Ain is Sunnat Akhlaq. That when someone comes to you with talab and tadab, then that person should not be turned away. In Abbas Surah Abasa wa Tawalla, we see that on one side the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was engaging the leaders of Makkah Mukarramah who were unbelievers at that time, the Quraysh Makkah. And one would have imagined that this is a opportunity where finally these people are willing to listen, and one would try to give dawah to them and try to do a bit more in trying to persuade them and try to bring them towards iman or try to counsel them or guide them. And right at that time, there's a blind Sahabi who came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that blind Sahabi couldn't see that the Prophet was engaged in this dawah, was engaging the leaders of Quraysh Makkah. He couldn't even know, he was blind. So he came to the Prophet and he asked for some nasihat. He had an issue. And the Prophet ignored him because the Prophet felt that these Quraysh Makkah, they were deserving of the time, they seemed a bit more deserving. And the Prophet was right, because if you have two patients and one is a cancer patient and the other is someone who just has cough, so you would first attend to the cancer patient. That person has a chronic disease. And then maybe after that you can come back and you can treat the patient with a cough. So here the Quraysh Makkah, they did not have iman in their hearts. They did not have iman in their hearts, so that was chronic disease. Whereas here, this Sahabi, at least he had iman. So the Prophet ﷺ gave a bit more attention to the Quraysh Makkah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayat of the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expressed lovingly his displeasure to this beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That why did you turn away? You shouldn't have turned. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the reason. And the reason was because this Sahabi, the blind Sahabi, he came, yas'a, he raced to meet the Prophet ﷺ. And in his heart he had khashiya, yakhsha. So these two qualities, it seems, are very important. That one, to have khashiyat of Allah, and second, to race towards getting nasihat. And hence, if a person finds themselves that they are approached by someone who also has sincerity, khashiyat in their heart, a purity in their heart, and they're also really requesting and asking and making an effort to reach out to the Shaykh, that if they can give them time, if they can give them some counsel, some nasiha, then it's sunnah, adab and akhlaq to accept. And then there is a barakah, like we saw in this story. So the bottom line is that we have to learn from these stories of our akabareen, and we have to work on our own self. And first and foremost, we have to work on making our ibadat, increasing our ibadat, doing more and more amalu salih. We have to think about our day with a very different approach. We should start our day thinking that how can I provide maximal benefit to my deen? How can I have maximal amalu salih at the end of the day? What should I do? What could I do to in order to maximize the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of this day? That's how we need to approach every single day. Perhaps I need to give a bayan to someone, to help other people, because all the people who I give, they will attend, they will benefit. Maybe whenever I meet anyone during the day, I will meet them with a smile on my face and I will make niyat of doing amal on the sunnah. I will try to say something to comfort their heart. And I will make niyat of doing amal on the sunnah. For those who are in some trouble, in some difficulty, I will say some comforting words to them. If there is someone who needs help, I will help them. If someone was in some difficulty, I will try to alleviate the difficulty. If someone passed away, I will go and do taziyat. If someone is sick, I'm going to call them. And I'm going to inquire about their health. One should think. We should plan our day. We should make intentions. That Allah, this is how I'm going to spend my day. That I want to maximize my amal salih. And truly this is the shan of a believer, of a mu'min. That every day they are advancing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day they are bettering themselves, they're improving themselves. In Hadith Mubarakah, the Prophet ﷺ said that for a mu'min, his or her 2 days are never equal. Yani the day which will come, right, the tomorrow will be better than today, because he will be able to do more deeds today. And hence, because of good amal, amalu salih, his daraja, his rutbah will be more when he enters tomorrow, when he enters the next day. So this is the shan of a believer, that the coming day should be better than our previous day. That we should have done so many ibadat that the next day we can be on a higher platform. And then again a higher platform. We can keep rising. We can keep increasing. We can keep improving. We can accumulate more and more. We accumulate as many good deeds as we can. And on the other hand, for that believer, for that person, whose 2 days are exactly the same, the Prophet ﷺ said that that person is in a loss. He was deceived. He was duped. He was duped that how is it possible that the 2 days of a mu'min can be equal? Mu'min is that person, that human being, where every day they're rising. Every day they're accumulating more and more good deeds. And hence they are always coming closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're moving ahead on this Sirat-i-Mustaqim. Right? Just like in this, that's why Allah says this deen is like Sirat. It's a path. Like in dunya, you become a better and a better accountant than a great accountant, than a master accountant. You just want to keep on improving yourself. In the same way, in our deen, sirat al mustaqim, it's a path where you keep moving ahead, moving ahead, moving ahead. Keep moving in that path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in summary then, we have to work hard on maximizing our good deeds. We have to change our approach. And really this is one of the main difference between our life and the life of someone who is a friend of Allah, a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's about approach. That the wali, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they lead their lives, they spend their days, they spend their nights thinking about how to maximize their amal salih. They're always thinking. Even in the, they're looking for opportunities. That how can we convert this mundane activity, for us it's mundane. How can we convert this mundane thing into an act of ibadah? This act of eating food, this act of sleeping. They would sleep with the intention of resting so that they could get enough rest to be able to do more ibadah, give more bayan, meet more people, help more people. Their sleep also becomes ibadah. Sometimes they allow other people to do khidmah, that someone could maybe press their, do massage on their head, or put oil on their head. And this they also do with the niyat of khidmah, of offering other people an opportunity to do some khidmah, and hence they would get the sawab, they would get the reward. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And you're thinking, even in the smallest of things, right, when someone comes to meet them, they would meet with a smile. When someone comes and asks for dua, immediately they would raise their hand and they would make dua. They will not eat alone. They will accept invitations of other people. Now these are small, small amal. These are small, small things in our day. And now every one of us, we should think that how this will apply to our life. Because people are different. Our contexts are different. Our days are different. But every single one of us, we have an opportunity. We have this opportunity of time, wal asr. This time is passing by, it's waning, it's going to wane, it's going to pass by us, it's going to end. And we have to think that how will we spend this time that we have? How are we going to spend every single day? Whether we go to work, whether we teach at a university, it's about the intention, the approach that we make. That for example, if I say about myself, right, when I go to the university, it's about thinking that what should be a good intention? What intention should I carry with me? And not just one, multiple intentions. What intentions should I carry so that my entire stay at that place becomes ibadah? Perhaps maybe I want to say things which are going to benefit other people, my students. I want to say things which are beneficial for them, which are helpful for them. I want to serve them. Service is a khidmat. Service is an ibadah. Similarly, someone might be working in a hospital, and they make another intention that I'm going to go there with the intention of serving as many people as I can, helping as many people as I can, in as many different ways as I can, to whatever extent I can. Sometimes just a small talk will be helpful for other people. One comforting word can help another person. Meeting someone with a smile can be sadaqah. I'm just going to think about every interaction, every moment, every conversation. I'm going to try to make that into not just another ordinary action. I'm going to transform that into an amal salih. I'm going to transform that into a pious deed, a righteous action, so that it becomes a source of reward from Allah. Reward from Allah. Sawab. That's what we have to think. Whatever our backgrounds are, some of us might just be in our homes. What can I do from morning till night? Maybe I have to do some household chores. These household chores, many women, they do. But we just do it because we view that to be a duty, or just do it because we have to do. Again, here, this is a tremendous opportunity to earn a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cooking food, this is an incredible act of khidmat. Washing clothes, it's an incredible act of service. Dusting, this is an incredible act of khidmat. This khidmat, taking some of us might have kids, we might have children, kids to take care of. Taking care of our kids, spending time with them. And that takes a lot of time. That can be made into an act of ibadah. Fulfilling the needs of our dependents. That's ibadat. It's such a great ibadat. Haven't we read the Quran? Don't we see the story of Sayyidina Amma Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam? She ran between Safa and Marwa 7 times. Why? Why? She ran because she wanted to fulfill the need of her child who was thirsty, didn't have anything to drink. She ran with that intention of khidmat of her child, of her baby. That running, hard manual labor, running, sweating between two places, Safa, Marwa, Marwa, Safa. And then what happened? All of us know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her with Zamzam, with this incredible ni'mat, which continues even until today. So if the women, sometimes they say, they complain that we do so much, we get tired. We should think, we should reflect on the story of Amma Hajar alayhi salam, that this running, you know, going upstairs, downstairs, moving around, doing different things in the house, in the home. These things, if it makes a person tired, but this is also a tremendous opportunity to earn so much reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only if we have the right intention. We provide the right intention, this can become rewarding for us. Like Allah ta'ala blessed Amma Hajar alayhi salam with Zamzam, we can also be blessed with these ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, nothing is ordinary in our deen. If we can have a right intention, we can make it extraordinary. We can turn our adat into ibadat. And that really is what we need to learn. That really is the lesson to learn from our mashayikh when we put ourselves in their soba, is to learn how those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they spend their days in such a way that they ensure that every amal that they're doing is amal us-salih. The things that we ordinarily we take it for granted, using the restroom, changing our clothes, they ensure that every amal, every harakat and sakanat is amal us-salih. And if we can also begin to think like that, we start our day with that approach, with that orientation, and that I have to accumulate as many good deeds as I can. Because there's no small or big deed. If a person is doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then every good deed is tremendous, it's immense, it's great in the sight of Allah. Because what Allah ta'ala looks at and the day of Qiyamah is not the magnitude, it's going to be the weight, it's going to be the wazan. That's what we mentioned at the start, right? The last hadith of Sahih Bukhari Sharif mentions that the amal will be weighed. So if a person is doing, even if it's a sudden or smiling, but if you're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the right intention, that amal can also become very weighty on the scales. So we shouldn't be thinking that this is a small, this is big. We should be thinking that I just have to maximize all and every opportunity. Every opportunity to do as many good deeds as possible. And if we have ikhlas, then every deed, no matter zahiri taur pe, it might be small, but it will be very big and immense in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this, it requires, number one, to have an approach and a mentality. And then secondly, also ilm of deen. Without ilm of sunnah, ilm of deen, ilm of these adab, a person will not be able to make that adat into ibadat. And this is the reason why the Prophet ﷺ said that this one alim is more ashad, more intense on shaitan and then 100 worshippers, 1,000 worshippers. Why? Because an alim, because of the barakah of his ilm, he can accumulate many, many good deeds in a very small amount of time. For the abid who doesn't have ilm, he will have to do a lot of ibadat, and then he will be able to match up to the sawab, to the reward of this alim, who in a very small amount of time with limited ibadah is able to reach that level. And he's able to reach that level because of his ilm. This is the barakat of ilm, and this is the reason why we should be learning ilm. Not learning ilm for some intellectual edification, for intellectual nourishment, for mental exercise, none of those reasons. We should be learning ilm because we want to maximize our amal salih. We want to learn those techniques, those strategies by which we can do lots of tremendous amount of good deeds in a small amount of time. We can convert these adat into ibadat. These are secrets. These are the secrets that our mashayikh, that the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they knew. How to convert these things into ibadah. How to add multiple intentions to one good amal and then get rewarded for every single good intention that they made. So we have to become people of ilm. We have to learn that ilm. We have to learn these sunnah adabs, these adabs, adab, learn these etiquettes. And that is why ilm is so important. So, in summary, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us that we can also save ourselves from this khusr, from this loss which is all around us. And we can save ourselves from this loss by making ourselves among those people who are embodiments of walladina amanu and wa'amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr. That not only do we implement these teachings in our own life, but then we also try to spread this among others. We try to guide other people as well on this path as much as possible. And then whatever obstacles come in this way, either because of our nafs or because of shaitan or because of other people around us, we have sabr. We remain steadfast on this path. We continue on this path. We continue to accumulate as many good deeds as we can, and in this way we can save ourselves from this loss and khusran. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this intention from all of us tonight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala join us towards Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us close towards Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us that we can increase our good deeds, we can excel in doing good deeds, we can race towards good towards doing good deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly make us embodiments of this ayat of the Quran, where we can say that everything that we do and everything, however we live, the entire life and every sacrifice that we make, it becomes solely and only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us ilme nafi. May Allah Ta'ala grant us amal that is maqbool in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala grant all of us ikhlas and sincerity in learning this ilm and doing amal on this ilm. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Before we make dua, we'll make a short silent zikr of the heart.